Welcome back to Mbago Media, Tech Talk. Today, we're diving deep into something that's rapidly reshaping our reality, artificial intelligence and its increasingly sophisticated ability to generate synthetic media. It's no longer science fiction, it's here, and it's blurring the lines between what's real and what's fabricated.
Exactly. And it's fascinating, and frankly a little scary, how quickly this technology has evolved. It started with subtle issues like AI hallucinations in large language models, where the AI would confidently invent facts or sources. It was a clear sign that these systems are built for generating plausible text, not necessarily for discerning truth.
Welcome back to Mbago Media, Tech Talk. Today, we're diving deep into something that impacts many of us, the rising costs of high-fidelity audio equipment. It feels like prices have been steadily climbing, making those premium sound systems a tougher purchase than they used to be.
You're absolutely right about that. It's not just a feeling. Economic pressures, particularly tariffs, have made it more expensive for companies to bring their products to market. This means for us as consumers, getting that top-tier audio gear we love often requires a bigger budget than we might have planned for.
Exactly. And for many of us who appreciate that signature sound quality, like what brands such as Sonos are known for, upgrading our home sound system can feel a bit daunting. It makes you pause and really consider if it's the right time to invest.
But here's where the savvy consumer can really shine. Against this backdrop of rising costs, Sonos has rolled out an incredible opportunity, a sale on their refurbished products. This is your chance to snag some of their most sought-after devices at a significantly reduced price.
And we're not talking about a minor discount here. We're seeing savings of up to 25% off, with some fantastic pieces of audio equipment starting as low as $134. If you've been eyeing a Sonos speaker or soundbar, or looking to expand your existing setup, this is a really timely and compelling reason to pay attention.
So, who benefits most from this? It's a sweet spot for a few different groups, really. For the dedicated audiophiles who crave every nuance of sound reproduction, this is a golden ticket to acquire top-tier components without the premium price tag that's become the norm.
And then there are the smart home enthusiasts, who truly understand the value of integrated technology. They appreciate the convenience and intelligence that Sonos brings to a connected home, and this sale makes that integration more accessible.
Absolutely. And of course, for the budget-conscious shopper, this is a dream come true. It's an opportunity to experience premium sound quality that might otherwise be out of reach, making it a really smart investment for anyone who values both performance and getting the most for their money. That's a great question. Let's demystify the term refurbished. In the electronics world, it doesn't always mean what people might imagine. It's not like buying a used item from a peer-to-peer marketplace where the condition is a gamble and support is often non-existent.
This brings us to a crucial point. What exactly does refurbished mean in this context, and why is this particular sale so noteworthy right now? It's easy to hear refurbished and think of something used or potentially flawed, but that's often not the full story, especially with a brand like Sonos. Instead, refurbished items are typically products that have been returned to the manufacturer or a certified seller for various reasons. This could be anything from a customer changing their mind within the return window, to a minor cosmetic blemish, or even a small functional issue that has since been expertly repaired.
And in many cases, these items have barely been used, if at all. The key is that they've been brought back to full working order. With Sonos's refurbished program, they take this process extremely seriously. These aren't just items that have been wiped down.
Right, each refurbished Sonos product undergoes a rigorous testing and quality control process. Technicians meticulously inspect the unit, diagnose any potential issues, and perform necessary repairs or reconditioning. They ensure every component is functioning perfectly.
And crucially, many of these refurbished items also come with a warranty. That's a significant reassurance for buyers, demonstrating Sonos's confidence in the quality of their reconditioned gear. The ultimate goal is to restore the product to full functionality, ensuring it performs just like a brand new unit.
Now, some listeners might be wondering about the cosmetic aspect. Will it look brand new? Is a common and fair question. With refurbished electronics, there's always a possibility of minor cosmetic imperfections, like a tiny scuff mark or slight discoloration.
But Sonos is generally excellent at ensuring any cosmetic flaws are minimal and don't impact the performance or the overall listening experience. For many, these minor imperfections are a small price to pay for the substantial savings. The key takeaway is that while it might not be factory sealed pristine, it will be fully functional and thoroughly checked.
And regarding reliability, as we mentioned, the extensive testing and potential warranty coverage should put any concerns to rest. You're essentially getting a product that has been verified to work perfectly. The value proposition here is incredibly strong.
It's a way to access their premium audio technology, the same innovative design, the same rich sound, the same smart capabilities, at a significantly lower cost. This isn't about settling for less, it's about being a smart shopper and recognizing that refurbished here means significant savings without a substantial compromise on quality.
Now that we have a clearer understanding of what refurbished means and why it's a trustworthy option, let's dive into the specific Sonos products that are often part of this fantastic deal. This is where we can see exactly what kind of premium audio experiences are now within easier reach.
First up, let's talk about the Sonos Era 100. This speaker has quickly become a fan favorite, and for good reason. It's positioned as the versatile smart speaker that's perfect for everyday listening, fitting seamlessly into any room of your house.
What really sets the Era 100 apart is its impressive sound quality. Despite its relatively compact size, it delivers rich, room-filling stereo sound that punches well above its weight. Sonos has engineered it to produce clear highs, deep lows, and a balanced mid-range that makes music sound vibrant and alive.
Connectivity is another strong suit. It offers both Wi-Fi for its smart capabilities and Bluetooth for easy streaming from your phone or tablet, giving you flexibility in how you play your audio. And, of course, being a Sonos product, it's packed with smart features, including voice control options.
The design is also sleek and modern, fitting into any decor. For use cases, think of it as the perfect speaker for your bedroom, your kitchen counter, a home office, or even a smaller living space. And if you're looking to build a multi-room audio system, the Era 100 is an excellent starting point.
With this refurbished sale, you can often find the Era 100 at a price point that makes it incredibly accessible, making it a fantastic entry into the Sonos ecosystem or a great addition to an existing one. Imagine getting that premium sound for significantly less.
Moving up the line, we have the Sonos Era 300, which represents a significant step up in audio immersion. This speaker is designed for those who crave a premium, truly immersive audio experience, particularly for content that leverages spatial audio technologies like Dolby Atmos.
The Era 300 isn't just about loud sound, it's about sound that surrounds you, creating a sense of depth and directionality that pulls you into the music or movie. Its advanced acoustics and multiple drivers are specifically engineered to deliver this three-dimensional soundstage.
It's ideal for experiencing the latest spatial audio mixes from artists or for enhancing your home theater setup. When paired with other Sonos products, like a Beam or Arc soundbar and a sub, the Era 300 can transform your living room into a genuine home cinema.
The refurbished pricing on the Era 300 is where this deal really shines. As a higher-tier product, the savings here can be substantial, making that cutting-edge immersive audio experience much more attainable than it would be otherwise.
Then there's the Sonos Move 2, which brings Sonos's renowned sound quality into a portable package. This is the portable powerhouse that allows you to take your premium audio with you wherever you go. The Move in its name is key, it's designed for mobility.
It's battery-powered, features a comfortable handle for easy carrying, and is built to withstand the elements with its durable, weather-resistant construction. But don't let its portability fool you, the sound quality is still very much Sonos, delivering rich, detailed audio that's surprisingly powerful for its size.
When you're not on the go, you can simply place it on its charging base, and it functions as a standard Sonos speaker, integrating seamlessly into your multi-room system. The refurbished price point for the Move 2 is particularly attractive because it offers exceptional value for a premium portable speaker.
Getting this level of sound and versatility at a discount is a fantastic opportunity for anyone who wants great audio both at home and away. It truly offers the best of both worlds, premium sound and ultimate flexibility.
These are undeniably great speakers, each offering a distinct but equally compelling audio experience. But why is buying them now, in refurbished condition, such a smart move beyond just the immediate discount? It boils down to understanding the current market dynamics and appreciating the broader value proposition that Sonos offers.
Let's revisit the tariff impact we touched on earlier. These external economic factors have a tangible effect on the price you pay for new, premium audio equipment. When import costs rise, manufacturers often pass those increases on to the consumer, leading to steadily climbing price tags.
In this environment, that up to 25% off on refurbished Sonos gear becomes even more significant. It's not just a discount, it's a strategic way to access top-tier audio performance without being hit by the inflated prices caused by market conditions. You're effectively sidestepping some of those economic pressures.
Furthermore, investing in Sonos is investing in an ecosystem. One of the major strengths of Sonos is how their products work together seamlessly. Whether you start with an Era 100, add a Move 2 for outdoor listening, or integrate a soundbar for your TV, each new speaker enhances the overall experience.
You can easily group speakers to play the same music throughout your house, or play different things in different rooms, creating a truly smart and enjoyable audio environment. Buying refurbished allows you to build or expand this sophisticated Sonos system at a more accessible price point.
It's a long-term investment in a quality audio setup that you can grow over time. If you're already in the Sonos ecosystem, you know the joy of seamless multi-room audio, and this sale is the perfect chance to add more rooms or upgrade existing ones without breaking the bank.
There's also a growing and important sustainability angle to consider with refurbished electronics. In an era where environmental consciousness is paramount, choosing refurbished is a genuinely eco-friendly decision. By purchasing a product that has been reconditioned, you are directly contributing to reducing electronic waste.
This extends the product's life cycle, lessening the demand for new manufacturing, which in turn conserves resources and reduces the carbon footprint associated with producing new goods. It's a simple yet impactful way to make a more sustainable choice without sacrificing quality or performance.
Think of it as giving a great product a second chance to shine, while also doing your part for the planet. When you compare the value, the refurbished Sonos products stand out even more. Consider the price you'd pay for a new speaker with comparable sound quality and features from another brand.
Sonos consistently ranks high in audio quality, user experience, and smart home integration. The ability to get these highly regarded products at a significant discount, especially when compared to the current retail price of new comparable speakers, makes this sale an incredibly smart purchasing decision.
You're not just getting a deal, you're getting exceptional value for a product that is renowned for its performance and longevity. So, you're convinced this is a great deal, and you're ready to experience premium Sonos sound at a fraction of the cost. The next logical step is figuring out where and how to actually snag these savings.
It's important to know the best channels to go through to ensure authenticity and the best possible experience. The most straightforward and often the most reliable place to look for refurbished Sonos products is directly from the official Sonos website. When you buy directly from Sonos, you're guaranteed to be getting genuine, manufacturer-certified refurbished goods.
The process is usually quite simple. Navigate to their website, look for a section dedicated to refurbished, special offers, or outlet. The benefits of buying direct include direct access to customer support should you have any questions or issues, the assurance of authenticity, and often the most straightforward warranty process.
Sonos stands behind its refurbished products, and buying from them directly offers peace of mind. In some instances, authorized retailers might also offer official refurbished Sonos deals. However, it's crucial to be discerning here and ensure they are an authorized partner.
Look for assurances that their refurbished items are indeed certified and come with the expected assurances. Your safest bet, however, remains purchasing directly from Sonos. Before you click that buy button, there are a few key considerations that are always wise to keep in mind.
First and foremost, check the warranty. As mentioned, Sonos typically offers a warranty on their refurbished items, but the duration and terms might differ from new products. Make sure you understand exactly what's covered and for how long.
Equally important is the return policy. Know what your options are if, for any reason, the product doesn't meet your expectations or if you encounter an issue. A clear and fair return policy is a good indicator of a seller's confidence in their products.
Also, look for clear disclosures about the condition of the item. While minor cosmetic flaws are common, the description should be transparent about any potential imperfections. Finally, be aware that refurbished stock can be limited, and these popular items often sell out quickly.
What's the most important factor for you when buying refurbished electronics? Is it the warranty, the price, the condition, or something else entirely? This sale offers a compelling way to elevate your home audio experience without breaking the bank, especially considering the current market pressures.
It's a chance to own premium sound, embrace smart home technology, and make a sustainable choice, all at a significantly reduced cost. Don't miss out on this opportunity to bring exceptional audio into your life with Sonos. Let's dive a bit deeper into the specific products often featured in these refurbished sales.
We've touched upon the Era 100, the Era 300, and the Move 2, but let's really paint a picture of what each of these can do for you. Take the Sonos Era 100, for instance. Imagine this: you're in your kitchen, making breakfast on a Saturday morning, listening to a lively podcast, and the sound is clear, present, and fills the space without being overpowering.
The Era 100 excels at this. It's the kind of speaker that makes everyday moments feel a little more special. It's also incredibly easy to use. You can connect via Wi-Fi for all the smart features, or if you've got a friend over, they can just tap their phone to it via Bluetooth. No complicated pairing, no fuss.
It's designed for simplicity and sonic excellence. And when you consider that a refurbished Era 100 can often be found for around $175 to $200, compared to its new price of $249, that's a saving of about 25 to 30%. That's significant when you're thinking about outfitting multiple rooms.
You could, for example, get two refurbished Era 100s for less than the price of one new one. Think about setting up a stereo pair in a home office for immersive work-from-home sound, or placing one in the bedroom and another in the living room, all synchronized. It's about bringing that premium Sonos experience into more corners of your home.
Now, let's elevate to the Sonos Era 300. This is where things get truly exciting for home theater and immersive music lovers. If you're someone who enjoys watching movies with dynamic sound, or if you're exploring music platforms that offer Dolby Atmos or spatial audio, the Era 300 is a game changer.
Picture this: you're watching a nature documentary, and you hear the rustling of leaves from above, the roar of a lion from the side, and the gentle flow of a river beneath you. That's the magic of spatial audio, and the Era 300 is built to deliver it with its upward and side-firing speakers.
When it's part of a home theater setup with a Sonos Arc or Beam soundbar and a sub, it creates an enveloping surround sound experience that rivals professional setups. The refurbished price for the Era 300, which typically retails for $449, can often be found in the $330 to $375 range.
That's a saving of over $70, sometimes even touching $100. This makes a significant investment in cutting-edge audio technology much more accessible. For those who are already invested in a Sonos soundbar, adding a pair of refurbished Era 300s as rear surrounds is an incredible way to upgrade your entire entertainment system.
And then there's the Sonos Move 2. This is the ultimate in Sonos versatility. Let's say you're hosting a backyard barbecue. You want great music, but you don't want to be tethered to a power outlet. The Move 2 is your answer.
It's robust, weather-resistant, and delivers that signature Sonos sound with impressive volume and clarity. You can easily carry it from the living room to the patio, or even take it camping. When it's on its charging base, it functions just like any other Sonos speaker, seamlessly integrating into your multi-room setup.
The battery life is also excellent, easily lasting through a full day of listening. The refurbished price for the Move 2, which retails at $449, often dips into the $330 to $375 range. This is a substantial saving, making it far more appealing for those who want that portable freedom.
Think about taking it to the beach, using it as your primary speaker for a small apartment, or simply having the flexibility to move your high-quality audio experience anywhere in your home or beyond. It's the perfect blend of power, portability, and premium sound.
These examples really highlight the tangible benefits of this refurbished sale. We're not just talking about minor discounts, we're talking about making premium, cutting-edge audio products significantly more attainable. Now, let's circle back to why this is happening now.
The economic climate we're in is a significant driver. Tariffs and global supply chain issues have made manufacturing and importing electronics more expensive. This isn't just a temporary hiccup, it's a sustained pressure that has led to a noticeable increase in the price of new consumer electronics.
For brands like Sonos, who pride themselves on quality components and advanced technology, these increased costs can translate directly to higher retail prices for their latest products. Consider the Sonos Era 100, retailing at $249. If the cost of components or shipping increases by, say, 10%, that adds nearly $25 to the manufacturing cost.
While Sonos is adept at managing these pressures, some of that cost is inevitably passed on to the consumer. So, that $249 speaker might feel like a much larger investment than it did a year or two ago. This is precisely where the refurbished program becomes a strategic advantage.
When you see that same Era 100 available for $175 or $200 refurbished, you're not just getting a discount, you're effectively sidestepping a portion of those increased manufacturing and import costs. You're getting the same product, with the same core technology and sound quality, but at a price that reflects the current economic realities more favorably for the consumer.
This is particularly relevant for those who are looking to build out a multi-room audio system. If you want to equip your entire home with Sonos, the costs can add up quickly. By opting for refurbished units, you can significantly reduce the overall investment.
For example, outfitting a 3-bedroom house with new Era 100s would cost approximately $750. However, by purchasing refurbished units at around $185 each, the total cost drops to about $555. That's a saving of nearly $200, which is substantial and can be reallocated to perhaps a soundbar or a sub.
This makes the dream of a whole home audio system a much more achievable reality. Beyond the immediate financial savings, there's the broader value proposition of the Sonos ecosystem itself. Sonos has built its reputation not just on individual product quality, but on how seamlessly its products work together.
The Sonos app is renowned for its intuitive interface, allowing you to control all your Sonos speakers from a single point. You can group speakers to play synchronized audio throughout your home. Imagine walking from room to room and having your music follow you, playing at the same volume and in perfect sync.
Or, you can play different music in different rooms, catering to the individual tastes of household members. When you buy refurbished, you're not just buying a speaker, you're buying into this interconnected system at a more accessible entry point.
If you're new to Sonos, a refurbished Era 100 or Move 2 is a fantastic way to dip your toes in. If you're already a Sonos user, this sale presents the perfect opportunity to expand your existing system, add speakers to new rooms, or even upgrade older units without the premium price tag.
For instance, if you have an older Sonos Play 1 speaker, upgrading to a refurbished Era 100 offers a significant leap in sound quality, features like Bluetooth, and a more modern design, all while keeping the cost down. And let's not forget the increasingly important aspect of sustainability.
In today's world, consumers are more aware than ever of the environmental impact of their purchases. The electronics industry, in particular, generates a significant amount of e-waste. When you choose to buy a refurbished product, you are actively participating in a circular economy.
You are giving a product that is perfectly functional and has been rigorously tested and restored a second life. This reduces the demand for new manufacturing, which in turn conserves precious natural resources, reduces energy consumption, and significantly lowers the carbon footprint associated with producing brand new electronics.
Think about the materials and energy required to manufacture a new speaker, mining raw materials, complex manufacturing processes, packaging, and transportation. By opting for refurbished, you bypass a significant portion of that lifecycle impact. It's a responsible choice that aligns with growing environmental consciousness.
It's a win for your ears, a win for your wallet, and a win for the planet. This is a powerful message that resonates with a growing segment of consumers, and Sonos, by offering robust refurbished options, is tapping into that sentiment. Furthermore, when you compare the total value, the sound quality, the features, the user experience, the ecosystem integration, the warranty, and the sustainability aspect, the refurbished Sonos offerings present an unparalleled value proposition.
If you were to look for a new speaker from a competitor that offers comparable sound fidelity, smart features, and seamless multi-room integration, you would likely find yourself paying a similar price, if not more, than a brand new Sonos product. However, by choosing refurbished Sonos, you gain access to that same premium experience at a discount that makes it significantly more competitive.
It's not about settling for second best, it's about being a discerning consumer who recognizes exceptional value when it's presented. So, you're convinced. This sale is a fantastic opportunity. You're ready to upgrade your audio experience, embrace smart home technology, and make a smart, sustainable purchase.
The next, and perhaps most crucial, step is knowing where to find these deals and how to navigate the purchasing process to ensure you get the best possible outcome. The absolute gold standard, the most direct and reliable route to acquiring certified refurbished Sonos products, is through the official Sonos website.
When you purchase directly from the manufacturer, you bypass any ambiguity about the product's origin or certification. Sonos has a dedicated section on their website, often labeled Refurbished, Outlet, or Special Offers. Navigating to this section will show you the available inventory of refurbished items.
The benefits of buying direct are manifold: authenticity and certification. You are guaranteed to be purchasing genuine Sonos products that have undergone their rigorous refurbishment process. There's no question about whether it's a legitimate refurbished unit. Warranty assurance: Sonos typically stands behind its refurbished products with a warranty.
While it's essential to always check the specific terms and duration of the warranty for refurbished items, the fact that a warranty is offered is a significant confidence booster. It signifies that Sonos is comfortable with the quality and longevity of their reconditioned units. Direct support: if you have any questions before purchasing, or if an issue arises post-purchase, you have direct access to Sonos customer support.
This streamlined support channel can be invaluable, especially when dealing with premium electronics. And the return policy: reputable sellers, especially manufacturers selling their own refurbished goods, will have a clear and fair return policy. Understanding these terms before you buy is always wise.
While purchasing directly from Sonos is the most recommended route, it's worth noting that authorized retailers might occasionally carry refurbished Sonos products. However, this is where a discerning eye is crucial. Ensure they are an officially authorized Sonos dealer and that the products are indeed manufacturer-certified refurbished.
Big, reputable electronics chains can be a safe bet, but always verify the specifics. The risk with unofficial channels is the potential for less stringent refurbishment standards or a lack of proper warranty backing. Therefore, for peace of mind and guaranteed quality, the Sonos website remains the primary destination.
Now, before you hit that add to cart button, let's quickly recap the wise practices for buying any refurbished electronics. Warranty check: verify the length and coverage of the warranty. This is your safety net. Return policy review: understand the conditions under which you can return the product if it's not what you expected or if it develops an issue.
Condition disclosure: while minor cosmetic imperfections are expected in part of the savings, the product description should be transparent about any potential blemishes. Sonos is usually very good about this. Availability and speed: refurbished stock can be limited and sell out quickly. If you see a product you want at a price you love, it's often best to act promptly.
Don't wait too long, or you might miss out. So, to wrap up our discussion today, this refurbished Sonos sale isn't just a fleeting promotion, it's a strategic opportunity born out of current economic realities and amplified by Sonos's commitment to quality and customer value.
It's a chance to acquire premium, cutting-edge audio technology, the kind that delivers immersive sound, seamless smart home integration, and a truly enjoyable listening experience at a significantly reduced cost. We've talked about how tariffs and increased manufacturing costs are making new electronics more expensive, making the savings on refurbished units even more impactful.
We've explored the tangible value of products like the Era 100, Era 300, and Move 2, understanding how their refurbished prices make them far more accessible. We've touched upon the environmental benefits of choosing refurbished, aligning your purchase with sustainable consumer practices.
And we've highlighted the best ways to ensure you're getting a genuine, high-quality product directly from Sonos. This is more than just a sale, it's an intelligent way to invest in your home audio. It's about getting more for your money, making a smart, informed decision that benefits both your listening pleasure and your budget.
All while supporting a more sustainable approach to technology consumption. If you've been dreaming of a Sonos sound system or looking to expand your existing one, now is truly the time to explore these fantastic refurbished offerings. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Elevate your sound intelligently.
Welcome back to the Mbaga Media Tech Talk podcast. Today, we're embarking on a journey that starts with a fantastic deal on smart home tech and takes a sharp turn into the complex, sometimes murky, world of artificial intelligence and intellectual property. We're going to talk about a really compelling price drop on a Ring Battery Doorbell Plus, and then pivot to a fascinating legal battle unfolding between Disney and an AI company called Character.ai. It's a journey from securing your doorstep to safeguarding creative legacies, and it's all happening right now.
That sounds like quite the pivot. I'm intrigued. Let's start with the doorbell deal. What's the scoop?
First up, the deal that caught our eye, the Ring Battery Doorbell Plus. For a limited time, and likely as an early bird special leading up to the big October Prime Day event happening October 7th and 8th, this smart doorbell is going for an incredible $80. Now, this isn't just a small discount, this is a massive 47% off its usual retail price of $150. To put it simply, this is the absolute lowest price we've ever seen for this particular model, making it a prime opportunity for anyone looking to step up their home security game without breaking the bank.
Wow, $80 for a Ring Battery Doorbell Plus is a steal. Prime Day is definitely going to be a big one for tech deals this year. It's amazing how much these prices can drop, especially for popular items.
Absolutely. Prime Day, as we all know, has become a bit of a holiday for tech enthusiasts and savvy shoppers alike, offering deep discounts on everything from smart home gadgets to laptops and headphones. This Ring deal is a perfect example of the kind of value that makes these events so popular, giving people a chance to snag high-quality tech at a fraction of its usual cost. But what exactly makes this doorbell stand out, and is it truly worth the attention, especially at this price point? Let's break down what you get with the Ring Battery Doorbell Plus.
I think the what makes it stand out is key. So many doorbells on the market now, it's hard to know which features are genuinely useful. What are the standout features you mentioned?
One of the standout features of the Ring Battery Doorbell Plus is its expansive field of vision. We're talking about a 150 by 150 degree head-to-toe view. Now, why is that a big deal? Think about your typical video doorbell. Many of them have a fairly narrow, horizontal view, which is great for seeing who's at the door, but often cuts off the crucial lower portion of the frame.
Oh, I know exactly what you mean. This means that when a package is delivered, or when a delivery person places it right at your feet, you might miss it entirely in the recording. It's a common frustration, right? You get a notification, you check the video, and all you see is the person walking away, with no clear shot of what happened to your package.
Exactly. The Ring Battery Doorbell Plus, with its near-square, wide-angle lens, is designed to solve precisely that problem. It gives you a much more complete picture, allowing you to see everything from the top of your porch down to the ground directly in front of your door. This head-to-toe perspective is incredibly useful for monitoring deliveries, keeping an eye on pets, or simply getting a better overall view of your entryway.
That head-to-toe view is such a practical innovation. It really addresses a common pain point for smart doorbell users. So, beyond the wide view, what about the actual video quality?
Beyond the impressive field of vision, the video quality itself is top-notch. It boasts a 1536p high-resolution video feed. What does that mean for you? It means crystal-clear images, allowing you to easily identify visitors, read license plates if necessary, and capture fine details that might be lost in lower-resolution recordings. This clarity is paramount for security footage. The better the quality, the more useful the recordings are if you ever need to review them.
1536p is quite sharp. I imagine that makes a significant difference, especially for identifying people or details in less than ideal lighting conditions. What other smart features does it pack?
But the Ring Battery Doorbell Plus isn't just about seeing, it's about interacting and being alerted. It comes equipped with robust motion detection capabilities. You can customize these alerts, setting up specific zones or sensitivity levels so you only get notified about activity that truly matters, reducing those annoying false alarms from passing cars or swaying branches. Then there are privacy zones, a crucial feature that allows you to digitally block off areas you don't want the camera to record, like a neighbor's window or a public sidewalk, ensuring your privacy and that of those around you.
Customizable motion detection and privacy zones are essential. I hate getting constant notifications for things I don't care about. And color night vision is a big upgrade too, right? That must make a huge difference over traditional black and white.
And for those dark nights, it features color night vision, providing a much clearer and more detailed picture than traditional black and white night vision, making it easier to distinguish colors and identify individuals even after sunset. Of course, the classic live view with two-way talk is also included. This lets you see, hear, and speak to anyone at your door in real time, directly from your smartphone or tablet, whether you're at home or miles away.
The two-way talk is so convenient. It's like being able to answer the door from anywhere. But the big question for many is installation. Is it complicated, especially since it's battery-powered?
One of the biggest selling points for many, and a major factor in this deal's appeal, is the ease of installation. Because it's battery-powered, you don't need to worry about hardwiring it to your existing doorbell wires. This makes it incredibly accessible for a wide range of users. Renters, for instance, who often can't make permanent modifications to their homes, can easily install and remove this doorbell.
That's a huge plus for renters. So many smart home devices require permanent installation, which is a non-starter for many people. Even for homeowners, avoiding electrical wiring is a major convenience.
Even homeowners who might be a bit hesitant about working with electrical wiring can set this up themselves in a matter of minutes. You simply charge the battery, mount the doorbell, connect it to your Wi-Fi via the Ring app, and you're good to go. This plug-and-play simplicity is a huge advantage in the smart home space, lowering the barrier to entry for sophisticated security technology.
Simplicity is definitely king in the smart home world. But with battery-powered devices, the big question is always battery life. How long can we expect it to last, and how often will we be charging it?
Now, while the features are undeniably impressive, and the initial price point is fantastic, it's important to have a realistic understanding of how this device performs in real-world conditions and what ongoing costs might be involved. Battery life, for example, is a key consideration for any battery-powered device. User reports vary quite a bit, with some experiencing several weeks of use, while others can go for a couple of months on a single charge.
That variability makes sense. It really depends on how much activity the doorbell detects and how often you're using features like live view or two-way talk. So, it's not a set it and forget it situation, is it?
This variability is largely dependent on how you use the doorbell and how it's configured. Features like frequent motion detection events, prolonged live view sessions, and constant two-way talk can naturally consume more battery power. Ring does offer tips for optimizing battery life, such as adjusting motion settings and limiting the number of live view activations. But it's something to keep in mind, you'll likely need to get into a routine of charging the battery periodically, perhaps every few weeks or months, depending on your usage patterns.
Okay, so a bit of periodic maintenance. That's manageable. And the smart part relies on the app and Wi-Fi, I assume? How user-friendly is the Ring app?
The smart aspect of the doorbell relies heavily on its connectivity and app integration. The Ring app is where you manage all your devices, customize settings, and view live feeds or recorded events. For the most part, users find the app to be intuitive and reliable, providing timely notifications when motion is detected or when someone rings the doorbell. The seamless integration with your home Wi-Fi network is crucial for this real-time functionality.
That's good to hear. A clunky app can really ruin the experience with a smart device. And of course, Ring is an Amazon company now, so it likely integrates well with other Amazon devices, right?
It's also worth noting that Ring is part of the larger Amazon ecosystem. Amazon acquired Ring back in 2018, and this integration has allowed Ring to expand its product line significantly. You'll find a whole suite of Ring smart home security products, including outdoor cameras, alarm systems, and even video doorbells designed for wired installation. This interconnectedness means that if you're already invested in other Amazon or Ring devices, the doorbell can often work in conjunction with them, creating a more comprehensive smart home security network.
Yeah, like an Echo Show displaying the feed, or other cameras being triggered. That ecosystem play is a big part of Amazon's strategy. But here's the catch with many smart devices, the subscription model. What features are locked behind a paywall for the Ring doorbell?
However, as with many smart devices today, unlocking the full potential of the Ring battery doorbell plus often requires an ongoing investment. While the doorbell itself is now at an attractive price, certain advanced features are locked behind a subscription service. This is a common model in the smart home industry, and Ring is no exception. Features like package alerts, which specifically notify you when a package is detected at your door, are a major draw for many users, but they require a Ring home plan. Similarly, if you want to store your video event history for later review, you'll need a subscription.
So, if you want to actually save and review recordings, or get those specific package alerts, you're looking at a monthly fee. That's a crucial detail for potential buyers to consider alongside the upfront cost.
Without one, you can view live feeds and receive immediate motion alerts, but you won't have access to recorded footage. Ring offers a couple of subscription tiers to cater to different needs. The basic plan, typically around $5 per month, usually covers a single Ring device, providing essential features like video storage for that one device. Then there's the premium plan, which often costs around $20 per month. This tier typically offers coverage for unlimited Ring devices at a single location, along with advanced features and potentially enhanced support.
So, when weighing the deal, you have to factor in that ongoing subscription cost. It's a classic razor and blades model, isn't it? Get them hooked on the hardware, then generate recurring revenue from the service.
Exactly. When considering the overall value proposition, you have to weigh the upfront cost of the doorbell against the recurring subscription fees. Is the convenience of package alerts and the ability to review recorded footage worth the monthly or annual cost for you? It's a question many consumers face across various smart home brands, as most competitors also employ similar subscription models to fund ongoing cloud storage and feature development.
It certainly is. And this aggressive pricing strategy during sales events is a huge driver for adoption, isn't it? Amazon is clearly aiming to dominate the smart home security market.
This deal on the Ring doorbell, and the subscription model it employs, are part of a much larger trend in the smart home security market. Companies like Amazon are using aggressive pricing strategies, particularly during major sales events like Prime Day, to capture market share and encourage consumers to adopt their technology. The goal is often to get a device into your home at a low initial cost, with the expectation that you'll then become part of their ecosystem, potentially subscribing to services or purchasing additional devices down the line.
It's a smart strategy, pun intended. They build that customer loyalty and data over time. So, from securing our homes, we're now shifting gears to a story about securing intellectual property in the age of AI. This sounds like it could get complicated quickly.
It is indeed. Now, while we've been talking about securing your home with smart tech, there's another major story unfolding in the tech world that's less about physical security and more about intellectual property and the rapidly evolving landscape of artificial intelligence. It's a story that pits one of the biggest entertainment giants in the world against a cutting-edge AI company. We're talking about Disney sending a formal cease and desist letter to Character.ai.
Disney and Character.ai? That's a fascinating pairing. For those unfamiliar, what exactly is Character.ai and why would Disney be sending them a cease and desist?
For those who might not be familiar, Character.ai is a platform that allows users to create and interact with AI-powered chatbots. The fascinating, and in this case, problematic aspect, is that these chatbots can be designed to emulate the personalities and voices of virtually any character imaginable. This means users can have conversations with AI versions of fictional characters from movies, TV shows, video games, and more. It's a powerful demonstration of AI's capability in natural language processing and character simulation.
Okay, so users can essentially chat with an AI version of, say, Mickey Mouse, or Darth Vader, or Elsa? That sounds incredibly engaging, but I can see how that would immediately raise red flags for a company like Disney.
It's precisely this ability that has drawn the ire of Disney. Disney, a company whose brand is built on a vast library of iconic and beloved characters from franchises like Pixar films, Star Wars, and the Marvel Cinematic Universe, has accused Character.ai of copyright infringement. Their claim is that Character.ai has developed chatbots based on these very characters without permission. But the accusation goes beyond just copyright.
So it's not just about the unauthorized use of their characters, but also how those characters are being portrayed or used in conversations? That adds another layer of complexity to the legal challenge.
Disney's letter reportedly raises serious concerns about how these AI-generated characters are being used, particularly in conversations with underage users. The letter states that Character.ai's infringing chatbots are known, in some cases, to be sexually exploitive and otherwise harmful and dangerous to children, offending Disney's consumers and extraordinarily damaging Disney's reputation and goodwill. This is a grave accusation, highlighting the potential for AI to be misused in ways that could harm vulnerable users and tarnish established brands.
Whoa, that's incredibly serious. Sexually exploitive and harmful to children is a very strong accusation. I recall hearing about some concerning incidents involving AI chatbots and minors discussing sensitive topics. Has Character.ai faced this kind of scrutiny before?
This isn't the first time Character.ai has faced scrutiny regarding its safety measures, especially concerning minors. The platform has reportedly been implicated in tragic incidents where teenagers discussed suicidal thoughts with its chatbots and subsequently took their own lives. These heartbreaking events have led to significant attention from regulatory bodies. The Federal Trade Commission, or FTC, has been investigating companies that develop AI companion chatbots, and U.S. attorneys general have also expressed concerns, signaling that AI companies will be held accountable for failures in child safety.
Those are truly devastating stories. It highlights the immense responsibility AI developers have, especially when their platforms are accessible to children. So, how has Character.ai responded to Disney's demands?
In response to Disney's demands, Character.ai appears to be taking swift action. A representative for the company, as reported by Axios, stated, "It's always up to rights holders to decide how people may interact with their IP, and we respond swiftly to requests to remove content that rights holders report to us." They confirmed that the characters in question have indeed been removed from the platform. This indicates a willingness by Character.ai to comply with intellectual property rights holders, at least for now.
So, they're complying for now. That seems like the pragmatic approach, especially given Disney's legal might. But this isn't the first time Disney has gone after an AI company, is it?
This move by Disney isn't entirely out of character, pun intended. They've demonstrated a clear willingness to take legal action against AI companies infringing on their intellectual property. Back in June, Disney, along with Universal Studios, filed a lawsuit against Midjourney, another AI company, alleging copyright infringement. These actions signal that major entertainment companies are prepared to defend their valuable IP in the burgeoning field of artificial intelligence, setting precedents for how AI development interacts with existing creative works.
That's a crucial point. These lawsuits aren't just about protecting specific characters, they're about setting precedents for the entire industry. This legal battle between Disney and Character.ai really opens up a Pandora's box of complex questions, doesn't it? Especially around ownership of AI-generated content.
It does. Legally, the lines are still very blurry. When an AI generates content based on existing copyrighted material, who actually owns the copyright? Is it the AI developer, the user who prompted the AI, or does the original copyright holder retain rights? The concept of transformative use, which often allows for the use of copyrighted material under certain conditions, is particularly challenging to define when it comes to AI's ability to mimic and remix existing works.
And then there are the profound ethical considerations. What responsibility do these AI platforms have for the content generated by their chatbots and the interactions users have, especially when minors are involved?
What responsibility do AI platforms have for the content generated by their chatbots and the interactions users have, especially when minors are involved? The potential for AI to be used for harmful purposes, as alleged by Disney, underscores the urgent need for robust safety guardrails, effective content moderation, and transparent operational practices. These platforms are not just technological tools, they are becoming increasingly integrated into the social fabric, and their impact, particularly on younger, more impressionable users, needs careful consideration.
For creators and intellectual property holders, this presents an unprecedented challenge. How do you protect your brands, characters, and creative works in a world where AI can replicate them with increasing sophistication? It feels like a constant game of catch-up.
The balance between fostering AI innovation and preventing the exploitation of existing IP is a delicate one. Companies like Disney have invested billions in building their characters and worlds, and they have a vested interest in ensuring those assets are not devalued or misused. Looking ahead, this situation will likely spur further development in AI ethics and regulation. AI development platforms will need to be more proactive in establishing ethical frameworks and ensuring compliance with intellectual property laws.
We might see the emergence of new industry standards or even government regulations designed to address these complex issues. It raises a fundamental question for all of us: where do we draw the line for AI-generated content, especially when it involves mimicking existing creative works and potentially interacting with vulnerable audiences?
The ongoing evolution of AI and its intersection with established industries like entertainment and creative arts is one of the most critical conversations of our time, and these legal and ethical debates are just beginning. The implications for creators are immense. Imagine an author spending years crafting a unique literary universe, only to see an AI generate an endless stream of derivative stories in their style, potentially diluting their brand or even competing directly with their own work.
Or a musician who develops a distinctive sound, now faced with AI that can mimic it flawlessly, making it harder for them to stand out and profit from their originality. This isn't just about preventing unauthorized use, it's about preserving the economic viability of creative professions.
And it's not just about the big players like Disney. Think about independent artists, small game studios, or even individual writers. Their intellectual property is often their livelihood. If an AI can easily replicate their style or characters, it can undermine their ability to earn a living and continue creating. This is why the legal and ethical frameworks need to be robust enough to protect creators of all sizes. The current legal landscape, built for a pre-AI era, is struggling to keep pace.
Concepts like fair use, which are often invoked in discussions about AI training data, are being stretched to their absolute limits, and the courts are still grappling with how to apply them. The core of the issue lies in how AI models are trained, doesn't it?
Exactly. These models learn by analyzing vast datasets, which often include copyrighted material scraped from the internet. Character.ai, for instance, likely trained its models on a massive corpus of text and dialogue, which would naturally include discussions and descriptions of popular characters. The question then becomes, is the AI's output a transformative new work, or is it an unauthorized derivative that infringes on the original copyright? This is where the legal battles will likely focus.
Furthermore, the generative aspect of AI adds another layer of complexity. It's not just about copying, it's about creating new content that is indistinguishable from, or heavily influenced by, existing copyrighted works. This can lead to a situation where AI-generated content saturates the market, making it difficult for original creators to gain traction.
It's a bit like a floodgate opening, and for many, the fear is that it could drown out human creativity. The Disney-character.ai situation also highlights the dual nature of AI. On one hand, it's a tool for incredible innovation and creativity. Think of AI assisting artists in generating concept art, musicians in composing new melodies, or writers in overcoming creative blocks. These are exciting prospects that can democratize creativity and unlock new possibilities.
On the other hand, as Disney's letter points out, it can be a tool for misuse and harm. The ability to create hyper-realistic simulations of characters, especially those beloved by children, carries a significant ethical burden. The allegations of sexually exploitive and otherwise harmful and dangerous to children are particularly alarming.
It points to a darker side of AI's potential, where its ability to mimic and engage can be weaponized. This isn't just a theoretical concern, it's a real-world danger that requires immediate attention from both AI developers and regulators. The responsibility doesn't solely lie with the AI company, it extends to the platforms that host these AI interactions.
This brings us to the role of platforms like Character.ai. They are essentially creating virtual spaces where users can interact with AI personas. While they may not be directly generating the harmful content, they are providing the environment for it to occur. The question of platform liability is a thorny one, isn't it?
It's something that will undoubtedly be debated and litigated extensively in the coming years. Are they content creators, or are they more like internet service providers, with varying degrees of responsibility for user-generated content? The swift removal of the characters by Character.ai, in response to Disney's demands, suggests a pragmatic approach. For now, they are choosing to comply rather than engage in a protracted legal battle, especially when the IP holder is as formidable as Disney.
This is likely a strategic decision, given the potential legal costs and reputational damage. However, this doesn't resolve the underlying legal and ethical questions. It simply sidesteps them for the time being. What happens next in this ongoing saga?
We can expect more of these cease and desist letters, more lawsuits, and a growing demand for clearer regulations. The entertainment industry, with its vast and valuable IP portfolios, will be at the forefront of this push. They have the resources and the incentive to shape the legal landscape. We might also see the development of new technological solutions,
like digital watermarking or blockchain systems to track AI-generated content. That could be a way to enforce IP rights more effectively. And AI companies might develop better internal safeguards too.
For instance, digital watermarking or blockchain-based systems could be used to track the origin and usage of AI-generated content, making it easier to identify infringements. AI companies themselves might develop more sophisticated content moderation tools or build-in safeguards to prevent the generation of harmful or infringing material. The conversation around AI and intellectual property is not just a legal one, it's a societal one.
It forces us to reevaluate what we mean by creation, authorship, and ownership in a digital age. It challenges our existing notions of copyright and intellectual property law, which were developed long before the advent of sophisticated AI.
As consumers, we also play a role. By understanding the origins of the content we consume, and by supporting creators who are navigating this new landscape ethically, we can help shape the future of AI. The next time you see an AI-generated image or have a conversation with an AI chatbot, it's worth pausing to consider the complex web of technology, law, and ethics that underpins it.
So, to recap, we've seen how a fantastic deal on a smart doorbell can lead us down a rabbit hole of smart home technology, its practical considerations, and the business models behind it. And then, we've transitioned to a much more complex, and perhaps more consequential, story, the legal and ethical challenges posed by artificial intelligence and its impact on intellectual property.
Disney's action against Character.ai is a clear signal that the guardians of creative content are taking the threat of AI-driven infringements seriously, and they are prepared to fight for their creations. This intersection of cutting-edge technology and established legal frameworks is going to be a defining narrative of the coming years. It's a story that will unfold not just in courtrooms, but in boardrooms, in research labs, and in our everyday interactions with AI.
The questions raised are profound, and the answers will shape the future of creativity, commerce, and even how we understand ourselves in relation to machines. It's a fascinating, and at times, slightly unnerving, journey from our front door to the very frontiers of digital creation. And that's where we'll leave it for today.
Welcome back to Mbaga Media, Tech Talk. Today, we're diving into a truly fascinating development down in South Texas. Starbase, the rocket company, is essentially outsourcing its public safety functions, its policing and jail operations, to Cameron County.
That's right. When you first hear it, a rocket company needing its own police force and jail sounds pretty unusual. Maybe even a little bizarre. You picture Starbase as this futuristic hub, all about building and launching rockets, and that's exactly what it is.
Exactly. But as any rapidly growing enterprise, especially in a unique and expanding environment, will tell you, there are logistical challenges that extend far beyond their core business. Starbase, located in Boca Chica, has seen incredible growth in a short period.
And this rapid expansion, while exciting, brings increased activity, more personnel, and a greater need for services that aren't directly related to designing rockets. Starbase's entire focus is on pushing the boundaries of space technology. They're innovators and dreamers of the stars.
Law enforcement, on the other hand, is a complex, specialized field with its own regulations and training. So, how did we get to a point where a private space company finds it more practical to rely on a local government for essential public safety? It's a question that leads us down a rabbit hole of practical problem-solving and innovative governance.
The need for this arrangement didn't just appear overnight. It arose from the specific circumstances of ambitious, fast-paced projects like Starbase. As the facility grew, so did the population around it, leading to increased activity on and near their property.
Think about it, a large, active industrial site, even one focused on cutting-edge tech, is still a physical location with people and infrastructure. Potential issues will arise that fall under the purview of local law enforcement, and Starbase isn't equipped, nor is it their business, to run a police department or jail.
Recognizing this, the company sought a solution allowing them to maintain focus on rocketry while ensuring safety and security. This is where Cameron County steps in. For the county, this partnership is an opportunity to generate revenue, secure resources, and foster job creation.
By taking on these responsibilities, Cameron County can leverage its existing infrastructure and expertise to meet the needs of a significant economic driver. The agreement is likely structured through formal contracts, outlining specific services and compensation terms. This isn't a casual arrangement.
The key players would involve Starbase leadership and Cameron County officials, most notably the sheriff's office and potentially the commissioner's court. This arrangement perfectly underscores that Starbase is in the business of launching rockets, not policing.
It represents a pragmatic, business-minded solution to a problem outside their core competencies, demonstrating collaboration for mutual benefit. This involves significant operational and financial considerations, laying the groundwork for a complex, ongoing relationship.
So, what exactly does this partnership entail operationally? Cameron County, through its sheriff's office, will handle regular patrols of Starbase property, provide immediate response to incidents, and manage arrest and booking within their jurisdiction on Starbase land.
Furthermore, the agreement extends to jail services, meaning arrested individuals will be processed and held in county correctional facilities. This requires a significant allocation of resources from Cameron County, deputies, vehicles, equipment, and jail capacity.
The crucial question then becomes, how are these resources managed and funded? It's highly probable that Starbase is contributing financially, perhaps through a fixed annual fee, a per-incident charge, or a blended model. They might even contribute to equipment or infrastructure upgrades.
Clarifying jurisdictional boundaries is also crucial. While Starbase employees are subject to Texas and county laws, the formal agreement likely defines the sheriff's office's authority on private Starbase property, avoiding potential conflicts.
The operationalization of this deal isn't without potential challenges. Ensuring consistent service levels that meet both county and Starbase needs is paramount. This includes adequate training for deputies operating in this unique environment, perhaps familiarizing them with Starbase protocols.
Managing an inmate population originating from a private, high-tech company also presents its own considerations.
However, the framework is designed to allow Starbase to focus on its core mission, unburdened by public safety demands.
This partnership, while unconventional, is a testament to the evolving landscape of private enterprise and its interaction with public services, especially in rapidly developing regions. The implications touch upon broader societal questions and future possibilities.
This unique agreement raises significant questions and potentially sets a precedent.
As private enterprise pushes into new frontiers, the need for robust public services can outpace local government capacity. Could this model become a blueprint for other burgeoning private developments?
It forces us to consider the philosophical and practical implications of a private company contracting out essential public safety functions. What does this say about the evolving role of government in an era of increasing private sector influence and innovation?
From an economic perspective, the impact on Cameron County could be substantial. This agreement likely represents a significant revenue stream, which can be reinvested in other public services, infrastructure, or community development.
It could also lead to job creation.
For Starbase, the benefits are clear. Offloading law enforcement and corrections allows them to dedicate resources entirely to advancing space technology. This allows for greater agility and focus, potentially accelerating their development timelines.
However, there might be subtle downsides. Public perception could be a factor. Some might see it as avoiding responsibilities, while others see it as pragmatic. There's also the inherent risk of relying on a third party for critical functions.
So, I'd like to pose a question to our listeners. What are your thoughts on private companies outsourcing essential public services like policing and corrections? Is this a sign of progress and efficiency, or does it raise concerns about accountability and the role of government? We'd love to hear your perspectives.
Looking ahead, the long-term prospects depend on many factors. Will Starbase needs evolve? Could their operations expand, requiring the agreement to be revisited? What happens if Starbase growth outpaces the county's capacity?
These are all questions that will likely shape the future of this unique arrangement. This partnership, while unconventional, represents a pragmatic solution to the growing pains of a rapidly evolving industry, forcing us to reconsider the traditional lines between private business and public services.
Navigating this uncharted territory is dictated by the specific environment. Starbase isn't a typical industrial park, it's a remote area characterized by cutting-edge technology and ambitious scale. Standard municipal services aren't readily available or easily scalable there.
The very nature of space development, especially with private companies, pushes boundaries. This partnership can be viewed as a direct response to these novel challenges, integrating essential public safety into an environment that is itself pioneering new frontiers.
The arrangement strikes a delicate balance. How does Starbase innovate at breakneck speed while adhering to public safety and legal frameworks? By contracting with Cameron County, they delegate the responsibility for compliance, freeing up expertise for their technical work.
Beyond the functional aspects, this partnership can play a role in community integration. Establishing a formal working relationship with local government fosters stronger connections, leading to better communication and mutual understanding.
It demonstrates a commitment to being a responsible corporate citizen, even while operating in a highly specialized and futuristic industry. Ultimately, this partnership, while unconventional, represents a pragmatic and potentially innovative solution to complex challenges.
It's a clear example of how businesses and governments can collaborate, especially in the dynamic world of space development. It forces us to reconsider traditional lines between private business and public services, suggesting new models of cooperation are necessary.
This evolving relationship, this blurring of lines, isn't just confined to South Texas. We're seeing echoes across various sectors. Think about large-scale infrastructure projects. Private developers have long navigated complex permitting and regulations.
What we're seeing now is a more formalized, integrated approach. It's less about a company having to provide services and more about a strategic decision to outsource them to specialized public entities. It's a shift towards efficiency.
Consider a major new manufacturing plant in a rural county. The influx of workers can strain local resources. The county might not have the capacity for increased traffic or site security beyond the company's own measures.
In such scenarios, a formal agreement, like Starbase and Cameron County's, could be beneficial. The county sheriff's office could provide dedicated patrols, funded by the company, allowing the company to focus on its facility while the county ensures public safety.
And this isn't just about physical security. We're seeing similar trends in environmental monitoring. Large corporations might contract with specialized agencies for assessments or waste management, ensuring expertise and impartiality.
The Starbase and Cameron County model, however, has a compelling edge because it involves policing and corrections services traditionally seen as the exclusive domain of the state. The idea of a private entity paying a government entity for these duties feels like a departure.
But let's unpack why it makes sense here. Starbase isn't just a factory, it's a launch site handling volatile materials. The consequences of a breach could be far more severe than in a typical business. This risk factor contributes to the county's willingness to engage.
Furthermore, the sheer scale of Starbase means it operates on a different level. A small, localized security force might lack the resources or legal authority. Cameron County, however, possesses the infrastructure and mandate to provide these services effectively.
Let's dive deeper into operational realities. When we talk about outsourcing public safety, what does that mean on the ground? For Cameron County deputies, their roles expand to patrolling Starbase property and responding to calls within the facility.
This requires a deep understanding of Starbase procedures, security protocols, and layout. Imagine responding to a malfunctioning rocket piece versus a fender bender. The former requires different awareness and potentially specialized training.
And then there's the jail aspect. If an arrest is made on Starbase property, individuals go to the county jail. This means the jail must be prepared to process those arrested for offenses related to a high-tech site, from trespassing to more serious incidents.
The county jail becomes an extension of Starbase security, managed by the county. This also raises questions about the types of individuals ending up in jail due to this agreement. It could shift the demographic of the inmate population.
The financial aspect is paramount. For Cameron County, this is likely a significant revenue stream, providing financial stability and allowing for investments in other areas like infrastructure or community programs.
For Starbase, it's a cost of doing business. The contract is likely far less than establishing their own private security force, police department, and jail. The economies of scale and existing infrastructure make it more efficient.
Now, let's consider potential friction points. Every partnership has challenges, especially one as novel as this. Delineation of jurisdiction and authority is key. Clear lines of communication are essential to prevent confusion during high-pressure incidents.
Another challenge is ensuring consistent service delivery. Starbase operates 24/7, and demand might fluctuate. Can the county consistently provide the required level of presence without diverting resources from other areas? This requires careful planning.
And then there's public perception. Some might see it as buying a police force, raising concerns about fairness. The crucial distinction is that the county remains in control. Deputies are county employees bound by policy and law.
Transparency in the agreement and clear public communication are vital to maintaining trust. Let's explore hypothetical scenarios to understand how this might play out in practice.
Imagine a Starbase employee suspected of stealing sensitive data. The Cameron County Sheriff's Office would investigate, gather evidence, make an arrest, and process them through the county jail, following standard legal procedures.
Compare that to Starbase relying solely on internal security, which might lack legal authority for arrest and detention. Or consider a public safety incident during a launch, crowd control, traffic issues. The sheriff's office would manage these.
This allows Starbase to focus on the critical task of launching, knowing surrounding public safety is handled. This partnership also highlights increasing specialization in both private enterprise and public services.
Starbase is hyper-specialized in rocket science, and Cameron County in law enforcement. By outsourcing, each entity doubles down on its core competencies, pouring resources into R&D or public safety, respectively.
This division of labor, driven by practical necessity and economic efficiency, is a hallmark of modern economies. The implications for innovation in governance are also significant.
This agreement could serve as a case study, a model for other counties and companies facing similar challenges. It can foster a more dynamic and responsive approach to governance, encouraging proactive agencies.
And what about the future? As Starbase grows, demands on Cameron County's services will likely increase. This could lead to further investment in the sheriff's office or expansion of the jail.
It could also spur innovation in service delivery, advanced surveillance technology, data analytics, or collaborative training exercises. The partnership itself could become a catalyst for innovation in public safety delivery.
We're essentially witnessing a real-world experiment in governance and public-private collaboration.
It's a pragmatic response to the unique challenges posed by a rapidly developing, high-stakes industry.
It's about finding solutions that work, even if they don't fit neatly into traditional boxes. It's about recognizing that the future of both business and public service might lie in these kinds of creative, mutually beneficial arrangements.
So, as we wrap up, let's revisit that initial thought, a rocket company needing a police force and a jail. It still sounds unusual, doesn't it? But when you peel back the layers, it starts to make a lot of sense.
It's a story of adaptation, of innovation, and of finding new ways for public and private sectors to work together. It's a testament to the fact that sometimes, the most forward-thinking solutions are born out of the most grounded, practical needs.
Welcome back to Mbago Media's Tech Talk Edition. Today, we're diving deep into something fundamental to our digital lives, trust in the cloud. We entrust so much to these vast networks of servers, from personal data to critical operations. It's a leap of faith, isn't it? We're essentially handing over the keys to our digital kingdom.
Absolutely. And what happens when the very mechanisms designed to protect that sensitive information, those digital fortresses, turn out to have weaknesses? It's a chilling thought. Imagine an attacker breaches the outer defenses of a data center, they're inside. Can they then access or tamper with the secrets that are supposed to be protected?
That's precisely where a fascinating technology comes into play, trusted execution environments, or TEs. Think of a TEE as a highly secure, locked vault built directly into the processor itself. Its purpose is to create an isolated, encrypted space where data can be processed and stored, shielded from even the operating system or hypervisor.
So, it's designed to ensure confidentiality and integrity, no matter what happens outside that vault. That sounds incredibly critical for services we rely on daily, like Signal Messenger or WhatsApp, doesn't it? Major cloud providers are even recommending their customers use these TEs.
Exactly. And the big players in the chip world have their versions. Intel calls their Software Guard Extensions, or SGX, while AMD has Secure Encrypted Virtualization Secure Nested Paging, or SIVSNP. These aren't just niche features, they're considered essential components in the modern cloud security stack, forming the backbone of network security.
The backbone analogy is perfect. TEs promise a fundamental layer of security, a robust foundation. The idea is that even if the surrounding system is compromised, the data within the enclave remains safe. This makes their potential failure incredibly significant, doesn't it? If the bedrock can be undermined, the integrity of the entire structure is called into question.
Precisely. And in cybersecurity, we know it's an ongoing arms race. No system is perfectly impenetrable forever. Adversaries are constantly innovating, and researchers are pushing boundaries to find weaknesses. Historically, TEs, despite their sophisticated design, haven't been immune to this scrutiny.
That's right. Over the years, security researchers have indeed found cracks in both Intel's and AMD's TE technologies. These aren't isolated incidents. They're part of a pattern highlighting the inherent complexity of securing these hardware features. It sets a realistic stage, showing these systems are in constant evolution against sophisticated threats.
And the significance of these repeated findings is their cumulative effect. They underscore the need for constant vigilance from vendors and the entire cybersecurity community. They also serve as a vital test, pushing Intel and AMD to refine designs and adapt. It's in this context that we have two independent research teams recently publishing new, significant ways to attack these supposedly secure enclaves.
These new attacks are particularly concerning because, unlike many remote exploits, they rely on a physical compromise of the server. This means an attacker needs more than just remote hacking capabilities, they need to be able to physically interact with the hardware. That's a much higher barrier, but clearly not insurmountable.
The key to both these new attacks lies in a small piece of hardware called an interposer. Imagine it as a tiny, sophisticated intermediary device that sits directly between the CPU silicon and the memory module. Its strategic position allows it to observe and potentially interact with data as it flows back and forth.
And one of these attacks is dubbed battering ram. What makes it so formidable is that it doesn't just passively observe, it actively manipulates data. This means an attacker can not only view encrypted data but also actively modify it, potentially introducing backdoors or corrupting critical data. And it's been shown to defeat both Intel SGX and AMD SEVSNP.
That's a profound implication. It's like having your secure mail service intercepting letters, reading them, and then altering the contents before they reach you. The second attack, wiretap, takes a different, though equally concerning, approach. It's designed for stealthy, passive eavesdropping, primarily capable of passively decrypting sensitive data protected by Intel's SGX.
The key word there is passively, meaning it can operate without leaving detectable traces. It's like a hidden microphone. While currently focused on SGX, its principles highlight a significant threat to data confidentiality within these enclaves. So, what's the common thread that allows both battering RAM and wiretap to exploit these TEs from Intel and AMD?
It boils down to a fundamental aspect of how these systems encrypt data, deterministic encryption. Let's break that down. Deterministic encryption means that if you encrypt the same piece of data with the same key, you will always get the exact same encrypted output. It's predictable. If you encrypt secret with key alpha, you always get XYZ123.
So, in the context of SGX and SEVSNP, if the same plaintext data is written to the same memory address within the TEE, it will always produce the same encrypted ciphertext pattern. This predictability, while seemingly benign, is precisely the vulnerability these new attacks exploit. That consistent pattern is the key that unlocks the door.
Exactly. The interposer, sitting there observing the data flow, sees the exact same encrypted pattern each time the same data is written. This repetition is a signal. It tells the attacker the underlying plaintext hasn't changed. For battering RAM, this allows it to infer operations or even manipulate data by observing how ciphertext changes after it injects controlled inputs.
And wiretap uses this predictable pattern for passive decryption. By observing sequences of these patterns, and perhaps correlating them with known data structures, attackers can make educated guesses about the underlying plaintext. It's like recognizing a song by its rhythm alone. It requires significant computational power, but it's feasible because of the predictability.
This is where the distinction between software and physical attacks becomes critically important. TEEs are designed to protect against software threats from within the system. However, these new attacks demonstrate vulnerability to physical attacks targeting the hardware directly. It's like having an impenetrable vault door, but someone can tamper with the hinges from the outside.
The implications are far-reaching and sobering. They directly undermine the trust we place in cloud security infrastructure. If the fundamental security enclaves, recommended by cloud providers and used by privacy-focused apps, can be bypassed through physical means, it raises serious questions about the reliability of other security measures.
This situation underscores that cybersecurity is an ongoing arms race. Researchers discover vulnerabilities, vendors develop patches, and new threats emerge. It's not necessarily the end of TEEs, which are still incredibly valuable, but it represents a significant challenge and a reminder that perfection in security is elusive.
So, what can be done? High-level mitigation strategies include rethinking deterministic encryption, perhaps introducing randomness to make ciphertext patterns less predictable. Another approach is developing new hardware defenses specifically designed to detect or prevent interposer-style attacks, monitoring for unusual data flow patterns.
Enhanced physical security measures in data centers also remain crucial, making it harder for unauthorized individuals to install such devices. Furthermore, more robust software-level detection mechanisms could be developed to identify unusual memory access patterns. Ultimately, these attacks reinforce the importance of a defense-in-depth strategy.
Relying on a single security mechanism is rarely sufficient. A layered approach, with multiple security controls, provides a stronger posture. If one layer fails, others are still there to protect critical assets. This situation also highlights the ongoing need for transparency and collaboration between security researchers and hardware vendors.
It begs the question,
What are your thoughts on the delicate balance between pushing the boundaries with cutting-edge security features like TEEs and the inherent risks that come with their potential vulnerabilities?
As we navigate this complex landscape, the quest for truly unbreachable digital security is a journey, not a destination.
That's a fantastic segue into the practical implications and the path forward. You've laid out the technical details of battering RAM and wiretap, and the deterministic encryption vulnerability, with such clarity. It's easy to get lost in the jargon, but you've made it accessible, which is a real skill.
Thanks. Now, let's expand on that defense-in-depth concept. It's not just a buzzword, it's the bedrock of robust cybersecurity strategy. Think about securing a castle, you don't just rely on a drawbridge. You have outer walls, moats, inner courtyards, and the keep. Each layer serves a purpose.
For TEEs, this means they shouldn't be the only line of defense. If a company uses SGX or SEVSNP for sensitive data, they should also implement strong access controls, anomaly detection systems, and continuous monitoring. These are additional layers that present significant hurdles for an attacker, even if an interposer attack is successful.
Consider the financial sector. A bank might use TEEs for transaction data, but they also have multi-factor authentication, strict network segmentation, and continuous transaction monitoring. If an attacker bypasses the TEE, they still face these other formidable security measures.
This layered approach makes a system truly resilient.
And this brings us to the vendors, Intel and AMD. They are not sitting idly by. The research community pushes them to innovate, and responsible disclosure is crucial. When researchers find flaws like these, vendors can understand the attack vectors, develop countermeasures, and release updates.
Intel has released microcode updates for SGX vulnerabilities, and AMD has been enhancing its SEV suite.
Their goal is to evolve hardware architecture to be more resilient against physical and side-channel attacks. This might involve architectural changes to make observation harder or implementing built-in checks within the CPU itself.
But it's a constant cat-and-mouse game. As vendors patch one hole, attackers adapt. This is why it's so important for users of these technologies to stay informed. If you're a cloud provider or enterprise using TEEs, you need to be aware of the latest advisories, apply updates promptly, and integrate TEEs into a broader strategy.
Let's talk more about the physical compromise aspect. Many concerns are about remote attacks, but these interposer attacks require physical presence. This could mean an insider threat or a sophisticated adversary gaining temporary physical access. Think about the supply chain, too. Compromised hardware components could theoretically be introduced at various manufacturing stages.
This is why physical security in data centers is paramount. It's not just about preventing unauthorized entry, it's about ensuring the integrity of the hardware itself. This includes secure server racks, surveillance, and strict access logs. The very nature of cloud computing, with shared infrastructure, adds complexity, as a physical attack could potentially affect multiple tenants.
Now, let's circle back to deterministic encryption. It's an elegant concept, often desirable for performance. You want to encrypt the same data and get the same result. It simplifies debugging and testing.
However, as we've seen, this predictability is a double-edged sword, creating a pattern attackers can exploit.
Imagine trying to guess a password. If every attempt produces the exact same signals, an eavesdropper could learn that pattern. But if there's a tiny bit of randomness introduced each time, it becomes much harder. This is the challenge for TEEs: how to maintain the benefits of deterministic encryption while mitigating pattern-based attack risks.
Some proposed solutions involve introducing controlled randomness or using techniques that make ciphertext patterns less directly tied to plaintext. Instead of encrypting a fixed block, the system might encrypt slightly different versions or add random padding. This, of course, adds computational overhead, the trade-off we always face in security.
Another interesting avenue is memory encryption. While TEEs encrypt data during processing, full memory encryption encrypts all data at rest in RAM. Technologies like AMD's SEVSNP incorporate aspects of this. The idea is that even if an attacker observes the data bus, the data itself is encrypted. The challenge is how the CPU accesses and processes this encrypted data.
The battering RAM attack, with its ability to actively manipulate data, is particularly concerning because it moves beyond passive eavesdropping. It suggests an attacker could inject malicious instructions or data, corrupting computations or even gaining control. This is where the integrity aspect of TEEs is truly tested.
Think about secure smart contracts on a blockchain or confidential machine learning models. If an attacker could use battering RAM to alter inputs or execution paths, the outcomes could be compromised, with significant financial or societal implications. And Wiretap, while focused on SGX confidentiality, still highlights how sensitive credentials or keys could be exfiltrated.
So, what does this mean for the average user? For most, the direct impact of these specific attacks is minimal because they require physical access. However, the indirect impact is significant. It affects the trust we place in the cloud services that underpin our digital lives.
When we use services like Signal or WhatsApp, we rely on their security promises, which often depend on underlying hardware features like TEEs. If those features have exploitable weaknesses, it raises questions about the overall security posture of these services. Transparency from vendors and service providers is crucial.
Let's consider the broader landscape of hardware security. TEEs are just one piece. We also have hardware security modules, HSMs, secure enclaves in mobile processors, and hardware root of trust. Each has its strengths and weaknesses and is subject to ongoing research and scrutiny.
The research community acts as an indispensable quality assurance mechanism. Without these independent researchers, we might not discover vulnerabilities until they are exploited by malicious actors. This proactive discovery, even if uncomfortable, ultimately leads to stronger, more secure systems. It's a testament to open inquiry.
It's also important to acknowledge the staggering complexity of these systems. Modern CPUs are marvels of engineering, with billions of transistors. Security is one of many competing priorities, and inevitably, as complexity increases, so does the potential for unforeseen interactions and vulnerabilities.
The fact that these attacks are being discussed at this level, with independent research teams publishing detailed findings, signifies a maturation of the field. We're seeing sophisticated analysis of hardware architecture, microarchitectural side channels, and complex cryptographic interactions. It's moved beyond simple buffer overflows.
So, what are the practical steps for organizations that rely on TEEs? First, stay informed. Regularly monitor security advisories and research publications from Intel, AMD, and trusted cybersecurity groups.
Second, patch promptly. Apply microcode updates and firmware patches as soon as they are released by vendors. Third, implement defense in depth. Don't rely solely on TEEs, combine them with strong access controls, network segmentation, encryption, and anomaly detection.
Fourth, consider workload isolation. Even with TEEs, further isolate highly sensitive workloads from less sensitive ones, both logically and physically where possible. Fifth, ensure robust physical security measures are in place for data centers and hardware housing sensitive TEE-protected data.
And finally, continuously assess the risks associated with TEE vulnerabilities in the context of your specific use cases and threat models. Not all applications have the same sensitivity. This ongoing dialogue between researchers, vendors, and users is what will ultimately drive progress.
These recent attacks, while concerning, are a critical learning opportunity. They allow us to refine these powerful technologies and reinforce the importance of a comprehensive, layered security approach. The journey towards perfect security is long, marked by continuous innovation and adaptation.
Each discovery, each challenge, pushes us forward, making our digital world more resilient. It's a testament to human ingenuity, both in creating these advanced security mechanisms and in testing their limits. The story of TEEs is far from over, and the quest for unbreachable digital security continues.